So our scripture lesson today is from Luke. It's chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among the relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking their questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I would be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. So here's the question I was going to ask the kids. How many of you have ever been lost, either driving or someplace else? Okay, if I don't see a whole bunch of hands, people are going to start getting called out. You've never been lost?
Yes, I have.
No, I'm talking to her. You've never been
lost every day.
Okay. As long as you're continually lost. And so part of this story today is about being lost. And who's really lost? And so kind of give you a background on this. If you lived within 15 miles of Jerusalem, the expectation was that you were going to attend Passover in person. And if you lived outside of 15 miles away, then the expectation was sometime in your lifetime, you would take whatever the journey required to get there. And I said Christmas Eve, like from Nazareth to Bethlehem is about 80 miles. And Bethlehem to Jerusalem is about 15, so it kind of gives you an idea how far these places are. And it's not like walking down a road here. It's rough, but especially between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, it's pretty hilly and rocky. Now, in the Jewish community, a male was considered a man once he reached the age of 12, so this would clearly be Jesus' first time of coming to Passover. So I need to explain how you can get lost. So what they would do, it's easy to get lost. It's harder now with GPS, right? Unless your GPS leads you astray. But here's what they would do. The women and children would leave first thing in the morning because they were going to be slower. Not so much because of the women, but because of the children. And then the men would leave later because they would catch up with them. And then that evening, they'd meet together and spend the evening together. And that was the plan. And so when they got there, Jesus isn't there, but they're thinking, oh, maybe he's with some other family members. And then they realize he's not there. And then it's a day back to go back to Jerusalem and to find him. And so for all of us that are going, I would never lose my kid for that long. So here's my Walt Disney experience. The parade that, I don't know if they still have this, but they used to have a parade about 3 o'clock. There was like a zillion million people there, if you've never been there. And we're at it one time. I think we went with the band kids from that town that we don't talk about. And we went there with the band kids. And there's a little boy, and the parade's breaking up, and everybody's walking away. There's two older ladies there, and the kid is crying. And they said, "Well, what's wrong?" And he said, "I can't find my mom and dad." And about that time, two Disney employees came over, because you know they always have the little Disney badge on. And they said, "What's wrong?" And he, you know, cries out the same thing, "I can't find my mom and dad." And they said to him, "Do you know what your name is?" And he told them. And he said, "Do you know what state and town you're from?" And he said, "Yes." And he told them. And he says, "You know what? Parents get lost all the time. We never have so much trouble with kids, but parents are lost all the time. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take you down, and you'll get to see Mickey, and we'll call for your mom and your dad to come there, and they'll find you. Is that okay?" So he stops crying. He's good with all that. And so he's just starting to walk away with the two ladies, and his dad comes running up there and grabs him. And as soon as he grabs him, the kid's crying again. "I couldn't find you anywhere." And he went, "Oh, we're so sorry. Mom thought he was with dad. Dad thought he was with Mom. It's exactly the same story, except their meeting place wasn't a day away. It was however many minutes away. And so he came back and got him. But it's so easy to get lost like that, to misplace a child, even when you weren't thought. Each of them thought he was with the other one. So he talks about when they find him, he's with the Sanhedrin, which is sort of the Supreme Court for religious matters, would be the best way to describe it. And during Passover, they would normally meet in public, and then it becomes this time of sharing information. So I don't want anybody to think that Jesus was in this and he's like leading the conversation. That was very unlikely that that would be happening. But what people would do, think of it more in terms of a Bible study meeting, where people would be sharing, when I read this part of Deuteronomy, here's what it makes me think of. And somebody would say, well, you know, that could be true, but here's the way I've always looked at it. And so it's this sharing of information back and forth between this group, and it would have been mostly men, of course, because that's the way it was then, the men sharing this information. And Jesus was in part of that group. And so when it's talking about him having a better understanding for a 12-year-old boy, which the men probably normally wouldn't have given much time to at all, he was a lot farther along in his religious thought and studies than they would have ever expected him to be. And so when Joseph and Mary get back, that's what they find him in, this conversation, and he's holding his own. It wouldn't be normal like a 12-year-old boy would just be sitting there listening to the elders. He's actually participating. But what we get from this scripture is we have this shift from Mary and Joseph being the mom and dad to where Jesus is recognizing maybe for the first time, or at least the first time we read in the Bible, that he's the Son of God. We have this change. Probably what's the most important part here is, so how many of you ever had teenagers in your house? How many found having teenagers in the house were fun all the time? Just so you know, you were way outvoted, okay? In fact, it was a landslide. If you hadn't voted for yourself, nobody would have voted for you, okay? Not even your brothers would have voted for you, all right? And so sometimes teenagers, because they become all-knowing, they know everything, right? As you will find out, you don't. But the good news for parents is once you get older, you become smarter again. Because when they were younger, you knew everything. Then when they're teenagers, you don't hardly know anything. And then when they get to be like in their 20s or 30s or someplace in life, then you become knowledgeable again. Well, Jesus didn't do that to his parents, because it talks about he didn't like lord it over him, literally, that he was the Son of God. He went back and he just became like any one of the kids in town. And he becomes a very obedient son. Well, what we can learn in this time span then is Jesus goes back to home, and he really just does what everybody else should do. And in the commentary, he talked about it, discharging our human duties. He did what he needed to do. Now, I bet you guys have noticed in my sermons, a lot of times I talk about what are you going to do to make the world a better place? How are you going to treat people? Now, there's a guy named Shane Loper, and I always read his article in the paper every Sunday, and it goes along with the prayer that TJ lifted up today. And we live in a time, for whatever reason, that when something bad happens to somebody, we have to explain why it was their fault and they got what they deserved. His whole article today is about it doesn't matter what happens. When somebody does something, and he gave an example of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Justice Scalia, that when they passed away, people on one side or the other was saying how great that was that they finally died. But it's not just about people that are important. We see people do that, and I hate to use the term social media because I view media as being impartial, and I don't view social media as being impartial. It's just somebody's point of view. And they tell points of view that are just awful towards other people. And they're harmful. So when we talk about going into the world and discharging our human duties, maybe for next year, and you can start today if you want to, you don't have to wait till January the 1st, it's to figure out a way to uplift people, not to bring them down. So we go to Ball State basketball games. I bet you guys have figured that out. There is a new lady sitting next to me that she's never, we've had these seats for a long time. Either she was just sitting there or she bought them, and if she did, I'm gonna have to move. Because everything was wrong the whole game. They didn't play hard enough, they didn't jump high enough, they didn't shoot well enough. The referee did something. The whole game was negative. And I told Benita, I go, we're gonna have to switch seats. And she said, why? And I said, I can't sit by that for a whole year. I just can't hear that. Everything is wrong all the time stuff. It wears on me. She said, why don't you try talking to her? And I said, well, she'd have to stop talking first. And I said, I just don't want to do that. Yes, this might not be the best team that Ball State ever had, but I'm guessing everybody's trying because they want to play basketball. But the whole, you know, Luke Brown didn't come in soon enough. Luke Brown didn't stay long enough. Somebody missed a shot. Somebody get a blah, 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 blah. And so I've got to figure out a way to engage her in a lot more positive conversation than what I heard the other day. Or again, I'm going to have to move. One of those two things has to happen because I cannot listen to that all the time. But I thought about her and I thought, she is just an example of what, and she's older. She's at least my age. And so, I know you didn't say anything. I appreciated that. But she's an older lady. And I thought, gosh, if you're like that all the time, I bet you just wear people down. If you can't find anything good, so even when they hit a shot, well, they finally made one. Okay. I mean, the goal is not to miss every shot. It'd be perfect, but it's not a goal. And so for us, how do we take the grace and love that Jesus gives us, offers us each and single day, and take it out into the world and share it? And so you can say, oh, well, we're politically divided. We're divided on everything. When somebody says, oh, somebody didn't like that, I said, well, the way this works, it's 50-50. We're 50-50 on everything. Well, I don't like it. Well, I do. Well, sometimes you don't have to really like or dislike. Sometimes you can just say, oh, well, I mean, that's the decision they made. Now, I've told you guys this before, but in case you don't remember, to become your pastor, I had to take a test to prove that I wasn't crazy. You guys remember that? And I have taken it twice, all right? And I have passed it both times. I want you guys to know that, okay? And I passed it clearly, not like just one to C. I was way up there, almost a B. They don't really give you a grade. But there is one thing that's a problem for me. It's that I am not sympathetic, and it came through in both tests. And I know this about me. I am not sympathetic to things that happen to people when clearly they should have known that was an outcome. I have a hard time with that. So for example, I'll use gambling. That's really bothering me right now. I am gonna send the Mannings an email and say, I don't understand how your family thinks it's a good idea to support gambling. But we'll use gambling as an example. When I worked in Anderson, there I had a customer that was a buy here, pay here car lot. And one day I was there doing my inventory check, and they've got a car. And I said, that car's not supposed to be here, but I found it. And they said, oh, we had to repossess it. And inside that car, there was hundreds of scratch-off tickets. Hundreds. And I said, what's that about? And he said, we don't know. We haven't talked to him yet, but he's supposed to be in today to get the car. So I did that every month. A month later, I go back, and I said, oh, the car's still here. And they said, no. He picked it up, paid the fee, the past due payments, and picked it up. And I said, well, it's got the same scratch-off tickets. He goes, no, it's actually got about twice as many as it had before. And I said, what is he doing? He became so despondent that he knew he couldn't pay his bills. He took his whole paycheck, went to Village Pantry-like store, and bought scratch-off tickets and hoped he won enough money to pay his bills. Now, if you read, even sort of read the back of the tickets or listen, they tell you that you're not going to win. You're not going to win. I mean, that's the way the state makes money from this, is you don't win. But yet, he was so desperate, he spent all of his money. So he didn't have any money to pay his rent and food. He lost his car because they only let you do that twice. And so for me, it's hard for me to feel sorry for him because he should have expected that outcome when he went and bought all those tickets. He knew he was going to lose. Should have known he was going to lose. And so you can pick whichever theme you want. And so we can talk about smoking. If you smoke all the time and then you have lung disease, shouldn't be a surprise. My grandma smoked like a chimney when she was younger. She lived to be 94, but in her last probably 5 or 6 years, she had a lot of trouble with emphysema. And she lived in Chicago near the steel mills. She was a double dipper. She wasn't only getting it from the smoke. The air there wasn't the greatest in the 70s in Chicago. And she's in the hospital. I went to see her. And the doctor comes in and he said, "So, Edith, did you smoke when you're younger?" And I said, she said, "A little bit." And I went, And so the doctor looked at me and said, "Do you want to change your answer?" And she said, "Okay, I smoked a little bit." And I went, And he said, "So, do you want to change that answer?" And she said, "Why don't you just ask my grandson? Apparently, he knows all the answers." And so I realized that was her way of telling me she didn't want my opinion anymore. But her last 4 or 5 years, she had trouble getting around because she had developed emphysema. I'm sure part of it, we don't know, but I'm sure part of it was from smoking. Part of it was living in Chicago where she lived by the steel mills. Because when we would go to her house, you could just smell the air. And if you've never been to Chicago, that Gary area, it just has a smell. And so I was really sad that she had to spend her last few years with oxygen just to get around. But we can all see that's the outcome of the things that she chose to do. And so for me, that's a problem. Because as a pastor, if I have someone in my congregation and they choose to do something or not do something, and that leads to something bad happening to them, I need to not say, "Well, that's what you got for what you did." Because that's not an appropriate answer. I think the whole world does that now to everybody. It's like we can't just love the person or care for them. Because when someone passes away in your family, and it doesn't matter what they did or didn't do, it's still a loss for the family. And we need to find a way to love that family, love whoever's surviving the best we can, and do all we can for them. If they choose to drink and drive a zillion miles down the road and they hit something or somebody else and they harm themselves or somebody else, yes, that is a likely outcome for doing that. But it doesn't mean that we can't care for them and love them. And if you look, so I would strongly recommend you go read that Shane Loper's art. I'm pretty sure it was Shane that wrote that today. But he talks about all these things we do in the world now where even when something bad happens, instead of finding a way to love the person or love the family that's remaining or take care of the person that's left, we find a way to make it their fault. And yeah, sometimes it is their fault, but you know what? It really doesn't do any good to tell them it was their fault. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't make anybody feel better. It does not make the world a better place. It just doesn't. And so what I would suggest as we go into this new year, so I've got to figure out what to do with the lady to my left at the basketball games. But again, either I'm going to change her or I'm going to move. One of the two things has got to happen because I am not going to listen to that for 9 more games. I am just not. I can't take it. And so it could be that means I have to go away from her. And maybe that's the best thing. The best thing would be if I can get her to be a little more positive. And if I can get her to say anything positive, it'll be more positive than the conversation that I got to listen to from her the other day. The good news is she's mostly talking to her husband, but she needs to talk quieter because I can overhear her. So what I'd like for you guys to do as we begin this new year, and so how many of you are on Facebook? Okay. If somebody's being mean to somebody, just tell them to stop it. Or unfriend them or whatever you do to not have to listen to them. I sometimes think people post is the right word, right? Post things just to get people to reply to them. Because they want to be wanted or something. Find a different way to be around people, to love people, to take care of people. don't just find a way to say bad things back to them, back and forth. So I've done the same thing for me on TV. I have a couple shows that I used to like to watch, but if they get to where it's just all bad, 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 click. Because somehow they know when I'm watching, they don't specifically know, but if I can make their ratings go down, they'll change the way that show goes. And I do the same thing on the radio. Whether it's sports or whatever, if it's something that I am just not going to listen to because it's too negative, just turn them off and they'll change. I am going to send the Mannings a letter. I don't understand how they think that gambling is a good deal at all. And since I'm on a roll today, I'll just work this into the conversation too. So part of the state of Indiana, and I knew this was going on for a couple of years, wants to make marijuana legal. And it does have some medicinal purposes that help people. But the other day, I was at a funeral for a friend in Middletown, and the guy in front of me, apparently he smoked a big fatty just before he walked into the funeral home, and he smelled awful. And I don't really care to smell that smell. And if they make that legal, that is going to be an ongoing basis. And if we think we have issues now with people driving under the influence, that is just going to be multiplied out. And what they'll tell you is, oh, well, we can collect so much money from taxes. Yeah, well, that never happens. Because when I was on the school board in the town that we don't talk about, is when they started the lottery and we were going to get all this extra money from the lottery. And yes, on one line of our budget, it shows we get so much money from the state of Indiana based on lottery sales. But at the end of the day, we didn't get any more money that year than we got the year before. So even though they added it, it went away someplace else. That's still the case, and we got a big amen from Janet there. And so those things that can harm people, there is no reason for us to say, oh yeah, it's okay to do that. And if the state wants to do it, and we've done everything we can to stop it, then that's what we're supposed to do. Our goal is not to just legalize things to make more money for the state to spend it however they want to. Our goal is to make the world a better place. And more people taking drugs does not make the world a better place. Father, we ask that you be with all us as we come into the beginning of a new year. Let us take your grace and love and let us share it with those around us who do not see your grace and love. Let us not be negative towards mankind and let us be loving and caring for them no matter what their situation, whether they caused it or it just happened. It doesn't change the way we should love and care for them. Amen.